This is Dr. Inigo dictating a disability physical for a claimant by the name of Julia Rivera Salazar. Date of birth, September 17, 1966. Case ID number is 6889027. Date of exam, April 13, 2023. Duration of examination, 45 minutes. Medical records available prior to examination, yes. Medical records from Dr. Dionisio Calvo III, MD, dated 11/8/2022. Identifying information, this is a 56-year-old separated female with five adult children who presented to my office for a disability evaluation to evaluate allegations of decreased vision, comma, fibromyalgia slash chronic osteoarthritis, comma, atrial fibrillation slash heart murmur, comma, Helicobacter pylori, comma, diabetes mellitus, comma, and depression slash post-traumatic stress disorder. History of allegations, number one, decreased vision. The claimant states that in 1980, she started to have difficulty with her eye vision. She is nearsighted and has problems with diabetic retinopathy, comma, hypertension, comma, and has had multiple head traumas. The claimant has problems mostly with her right eye, since she states that she sees double, she has double vision. She presented with contact lenses, and Snellen vision was OD corrected, was 20/20, OS corrected was 20/70. Binocular corrected is 20/40. The claimant has been told that she has diabetic retinopathy and has been referred for further treatment with injections for her diabetic retinopathy of both eyes, but especially for the right. She states that her night vision is poor and that her peripheral vision is also poor. She has had no surgeries and is wearing contact lenses at this time. Allegation number two, fibromyalgia and chronic osteoarthritis. The claimant states that in 1996, she started to develop chronic osteoarthritis and also had fibromyalgia diagnosed in 2008. She complains of pain all over her body, but especially of her shoulders, knees, and back area. Her diagnosis was chronic osteoarthritis, fibromyalgia. She states x-rays were taken, which confirmed that she did have osteoarthritis. She denies any fractures, comma, surgeries, comma, or injections given for her condition. Her symptoms include swelling, comma, warmth, comma, pain and stiffness, comma, increased pain with cold, damp weather, and pain that she usually feels in the evening. Her limitations include being able to walk 60 feet, comma, stand for 10 minutes, comma, and bend over to pick up clothes. She states she's unable to climb stairs or squat at this time. She is right-handed dominant and is able to write, comma, use a coffee cup, comma, open up a jar top, comma, use a skillet, comma, sweep a room, comma, button her clothes and lift approximately 1 pound above her head. The claimant states that she has problems with her right hand and states that she has weakness of that hand. She does have an assistive device, which is a walker, that she uses, but she did not present with any assistive device and was able to ambulate very well. Her physician that she's seeing is right now is from Su Clinica Familiar. She's on no medication for pain. And she says the only physical activity she does is walking to the mailbox and back to her home. Allegation number 3, atrial fibrillation and heart murmur. The claimant states that in 1988, she was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation and heart murmur. She denies going to the emergency room, comma, being hospitalized for her heart disease, comma, having a myocardial infarction or having any kind of surgery to her heart. She states the character of her chest pain is a pinprick pain that she feels on the left side of her chest and pressure. She states that occasionally the pain radiates up to her head. She states this discomfort can last for approximately 15 minutes, and she has it 3 times per week. The claimant states that when she exerts herself, she has the symptoms more. She states resting helps her condition, and she states that it's not related to food intake at this time. The discomfort is relieved by resting and sometimes antacids. Her symptoms include shortness of breath, comma, palpitations, comma, diaphoresis, comma, nausea, comma, and dizziness. Her risk factors include hypertension, comma, diabetes mellitus, comma, positive family history of heart disease, comma, smoking marijuana, comma, menopause, comma, and hypercholesterolemia. The claimant does have a history of gastroesophageal reflux disease and gastritis, but she denies any problems with hiatal hernia, comma, biliary disease, comma, pancreatitis, comma, esophagitis, comma, pulmonary emboli or costochondritis. Chondritis. The claimant states that she suffers from shortness of breath and has to sleep with 2 pillows at night. She denies any pedal edema or severe orchnea. She was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation and mitral valve prolapse. Her condition appears to be stable at this time. Allegation number 4. Helicobacter pylori. The claimant states that in 2012, she was diagnosed with Helicobacter pylori and gastroesophageal reflux disease. She states she was treated for the infection, but that it came back even stronger. She states the character of the pain is a heartburn pain located in the epigastric area that radiates up to her throat. She states that discomfort can last for approximately 10 hours, and it's a discomfort she has every day. The associated symptoms include nausea, comma, vomiting, comma, constipation, comma, and weakness. She denies any weight loss, comma, diarrhea, comma, but states that she is food intolerant to dairy products. She states that she has lactose intolerance. She also has difficulty in eating fruits or any kind of dairy products. She was diagnosed with Helicobacter pylori, chronic, and gastroesophageal reflux disease. She is presently on no medications for either one of those diagnoses. Number 5, diabetes mellitus. The claimant states that in 2012, she was diagnosed with symptoms of polyuria, comma, polyphagia, comma, nocturia, comma, blurred vision, comma, and a weight loss of 30 pounds. She states that she does have in-organ damage or retinopathy, comma, but has not had any laser treatments. She is pending injections to both eyes. She also has problems with nephropathy and is passing blood right now in her urine. The claimant has a history of cervical cancer and hysterectomy. She has not been evaluated for this condition. The claimant does suffer from diabetic neuropathy and weakness, especially of the right hand. She denies any other cardiovascular disease, except for mitral valve prolapse and atrial fibrillation. She does not check her blood glucose, but states that it's always in the 200s. Her last hemoglobin A1C was 9.0, which is very high. She is presently on glyburide 5 milligrams QD and metformin 500 milligrams QD, which does not appear to be controlling her at this time. Allegation number 6, depression / post-traumatic stress disorder. The claimant states that in 1981, her father committed suicide in front of her, which affected her greatly. Since that time, she's had depression, anxiety, and has always been somewhat nervous in her nature. The claimant states that in 2015, she started to develop severe depression, anxiety, insomnia, decreased memory, decreased appetite, decreased energy, decreased concentration, and decreased motivation. She states when she was 16 years old, she got pregnant from a boyfriend, and she did not marry him, but this caused a lot of conflict in her family. The claimant has been at MHMR since 1981, and she has been hospitalized multiple times for suicidal attempts and suicidal ideation. The claimant has attempted to commit suicide 9 times and has tried to do so by overdosing on pills. She is presently not taking any medications at this time for her condition, which appears to be fairly stable at this time. Limitations. The claimant is able to walk 60 feet, stand for 10 minutes, and bend over to pick up clothes. She is unable to climb stairs or squat at this time. She is right-handed dominant and is able to write, use a coffee cup, button her clothes and lift approximately 1 pound above her head. She is unable to open up a jar top or use a skillet. She did not present with any assistive devices, but states that she has a walker at home, and she has seen physicians from Su Clinica Familiar. She is on no pain meds at this time, and the only physical activity she does is walking to the mailbox and back. Family history. The mother died at the age of 58 from a myocardial infarction and heart disease. Her father died at the age of 48 from suicidal action. He was in the military and suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. Medications, amlodipine, 10 milligrams QD, APAP/ASA/caffeine, 250 milligrams/65, 2 tablets TID, Eliquis, 5 milligrams BID, glyburide, 5 milligrams QD, metoprolol tartrate, 25 milligrams BID, metformin, 500 milligrams QD, and pravastatin, 20 milligrams QD. Medical problems, hypertension, history of cervical cancer, history of Helicobacter pylori infection with gastroesophageal reflux disease, history of cerebral vascular accident with mild right hemiparesis and decreased balance, which could have been a possible transischemic attack, which occurred February 2023, urinary incontinence, diabetic retinopathy, depression / post-traumatic stress disorder, atrial fibrillation, mitral valve prolapse, osteoarthritis and fibromyalgia, major surgeries, hysterectomy in 2013, secondary to cervical cancer. Social history, the claimant denies any history of smoking. Alcohol, the claimant states that she smoked socially. The claimant denies any delirium tremors, but states that she did have seizures in 1990. Substance abuse, the claimant denies any use of cocaine, crack, heroin, or any IV drug abuse. She states she has used marijuana for 40 years and states that the last time she used it was on April the 8th, 2023. Communicable diseases, the claimant denies any history of hepatitis, HIV, or any sexually transmitted diseases. Physical examination, temperature is 97.5 Fahrenheit, weight 201 pounds, height 5 feet 3 and 1 fourth inches, BP 154 over 93 mmHg, heart rate 78 beats per minute, respiration 16 respirations per minute, BMI 25. General, this is a 56-year-old female who appears to be her stated age, is in no acute distress. She also appears to be a reliable historian who presented to my office for a disability examination. Could you drop down to H-E-E-N-T, the last two sentences? Visual acuity was mildly abnormal. Confrontational visual fields were grossly normal. Snellen vision, OD corrected, is 20/20. OS corrected is 20/70. Binocular corrected is 20/40. The claimant presented with contact lenses to the office visit. She states that she's seen double vision with her right eye, which was not confirmed. Could you please drop down to cardiovascular? The jugular venous pulsations are less than 7 centimeters, and there was a regular rate and rhythm with auscultation. There is a large murmur heard on the left side of her chest, but no rubs or galvs were heard with auscultation. Carotid pulses were 2+ on the left side and 2+ on the right side. Dorsalis pedis pulses were 2+ on the left side and 2+ on the right side. Radial pulses were 2+ on the left side and 2+ on the right side. Posterior tibialis pulses were also 2+ on the left side and 2+ on the right side. Could you drop down to neurological? The claimant was alert and oriented ×3 and had good eye contact with me. Her speech was fluent and her mood was appropriate for the time. She had clear thought processes and her memory was normal. Concentration was good, and she was oriented to time, place, person, and situation. Reflexes of the patellar and ankle were 1+ bilaterally, as well as decreased reflexes for the brachioradialis reflex and bicep reflexes bilaterally. Could you drop down to cerebellar function? The claimant's gait was slow and unsteady, but symmetric. The claimant did not come with an assistive device. Her hand-eye coordination was good and finger-to-nose was normal. The claimant was unable to perform a heel-to-shin exam, but the lumbar sign was negative. Could you drop down to musculoskeletal? The claimant had some palpable muscle spasms and tenderness of the lumbar sacral back area. No joint swelling, erythema, fusion, or deformity was noted. There is normal range of motion of the cervical spine. The claimant refused to do the lumbar spine range of motion. And we don't know if she was able to forward flex within 3 inches of the floor. However, the claimant did drop her phone, and she was able to pick it up. There is abnormal range of motion, motor and sensory findings in the upper and lower extremities. The claimant appears to have decreased range of motion of both shoulders and was unable to flex her knees more than 90 degrees. Secondary to weakness. Straight leg raise exam in the sitting position was 90 degrees bilaterally, and the claimant was unable to do a straight leg raise in the supine position. Sensory examination was mildly abnormal to light touch throughout the body. There is decreased range of motion and strength of both knees. The claimant is unable to squat and get up on her own. Moderate difficulty was noted upon the claimant's ability to rise from a sitting position, and the claimant was able to get up and down from the exam table, but with moderate difficulty. The claimant was unable to walk on her heels and toes, but was able to walk at a tandem rate. She could stand on one foot bilaterally, but was unable to hop on each foot bilaterally. Assisted devices, the claimant was able to ambulate without a walker. Neurological exam. Grip strength was plus 4 over 5 for the left side and plus 3 over 5 for the right. She is able to pinch opposed fingers and make a full closed fist, although she has decreased strength in the right side. Cranial nerves 2 through 12 were grossly intact. Reflexes were symmetrical, and biceps, brachioradialis, patellar, and Achilles reflexes were decreased at 1+. Sensory examination was mildly abnormal to light touch, pinprick, and position sense was mildly abnormal. There was no evidence of muscle wasting, but some muscle spasms of the lower extremities. Muscle strength was plus 4 over 5 for all tested areas. Fine and dexterous finger control is normal for the left side and decreased on the right. Functional capacity, based on the current examination, the claimant's ability to sit, stand, and move about is mildly restricted. She is able to lift, carry, and handle objects with the left hand and with a decreased ability on the right side. She hears and speaks well. There is no evidence of joint deformity, bone, or tissue destruction. She was unable to heel and toe walk, but is able to tandem walk. There is decreased grip strength of plus 3 over 5. On the right side, a plus 3 over 5, and for the left side, a plus 4 over 5. Her ability to reach, handle, finger, and feel is restricted for the right hand. On examination, the claimant shows no evidence of muscle wasting, but does show some fatigue. The claimant has no limitations in her visual fields and minor limitations with her visual acuity with the contact lenses on. She does complain of double vision on the right side, which could not be evaluated. She is able to communicate very well without limitations and does have some restricted limitations in her workplace environment, secondary to mild right-sided hemiparesis, decreased vision, comma, and osteoarthritis. Probable diagnoses. decreased vision dash secondary to mild diabetic retinopathy. Has not been treated at this time, but she has been referred to a physician for possible eye injections. Number two, fibromyalgia slash chronic osteoarthritis, not being treated at this time, but appears to be stable. Number three, atrial fibrillation slash mitral valve prolapse with a heart murmur, confirmed with physical examination, being treated with medications at this time. Blood pressure at this visit was 154/93, which is borderline high. Allegation number four, gastroesophageal reflux disease with ongoing Helicobacter pylori. Not confirmed with medical records. The claimant is not taking any medications at this time and did not appear to have any problems at the office visit. Number five, non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus, being treated with oral medication. Her last hemoglobin A1C was 9.0, which is very high. Her condition doesn't appear to be very well controlled. Number six, depression slash post-traumatic stress disorder. Not being treated at this time, but appears to be fairly stable. Allegation number seven, recent cerebral vascular accident versus trans-ischemic attack. Not confirmed with physical examination or medical records. This is the end of the dictation for a claimant by the name of Julie Rivera Salazar.